Next, we have the Platonic region. So we've already discussed the rivalries, the romantic stuff. For today's episode, I really want to focus on the friendships in the show and the different angles that all go into that. So for this bracket, we've got four first-round matchups I want to get into right away. But as you guys know, the first thing we've got to do before we get there is talk about the potential bubble snubs. Relationships that maybe or probably should have, could have been included, but did not make the final eight seedings. So to kick things off on that front, Adam, do you have any bubble snubs for me in the Platonic region? Are there any relationship pairings here that you feel I messed up by not including in the top eight?
Well, for the first thing, just a little, you know, credit must be given. It's not like I'm blaming you for anything, because there's so many characters that I really enjoy and whose Platonic relationships are really interesting and I enjoy them. So I'm not going to blame you outright, but I do have two Platonic bubble snubs. And the first one, I think, is kind of more of the traditional slam dunk, sort of one that would have been, you know, a top three seed for me. It's Troy and Annie. And I like it for a lot of reasons, not least of which is how their relationship changes over the course of the show. Because for a moment, at opposite times, Troy is interested in Annie, and Annie is interested in Troy. And I guess flip the order on that, now that I think about it, as a romantic partner. But then it actually evolves and turns into a really nice friendship. And part of that is just because Troy's the greatest. But also, you know, that scene, I'm thinking specifically in mixology certification, where Troy is talking about why Annie is such a good person and a good friend. Like, that's a tear-inducing scene every time for me, just because of how lovely and platonic and wonderful, and taking a slight shot at Mark Ruffalo, it is. Checks all my boxes.
No, that's a good one. It was really hard to do this bracket in terms of the seedings, because more so than any of the other brackets, like, this was really mostly just different iterations of the study group, right?
Yeah.
It was really hard. Actually, I don't think I included anyone outside of the study group. The most outside person I included was Frankie in our number six seed, which we'll get to, and she was a member of, well, the study group or the Save Greendale Committee or, you know, whatever.
Dippers.
Yeah, whatever iterations we were going through at that point. True story, originally what Scott wanted to call our podcast before we ended up on
a 303.
I don't think we've said that publicly yet in a recording, but that is a true story. Nibble Dippers was the first suggestion for the name of this podcast. But that all being said, outside of that one instance where I got Frankie in, it was really hard because, you know, with seven people, and if you want to include the people who, you know, came and went from the study group, that's a lot of possibilities. That's a lot of combinations. And you know, I also thought about putting
that many
Annie and Troy and Abed. Okay, Alf. but there were it was really hard to do. That's one I could have gotten in, and I was kind of considering it for like a seven or eight seed, but I couldn't get enough of a differentiation between wanting to get Annie and Troy in versus wanting to get Annie and Abed in. So I went with a completely different direction altogether. Adam, I know I think you said two, but before we get to your second one, Dan, did you have one you wanted to kick in here?
I think the first one, because I'm racking my brain, because it's interesting, especially because like there was such a stark contrast with the first two brackets we did between romantic and then, I can't remember what we called the other bracket off the top of my
head. Rivalries.
Okay, that exactly. So romantic and rivalries, those are pretty easy to like differentiate. But when you talk platonic and oddball, what we're going to be discussing today, like they're close. Like I keep thinking of the relationships and then like the ones that I would pop up, because what you said is exactly right about all the study group members. Like that's pretty much why we have the one through eight seeds the way we do, because we spend the most time with these people. But like the ones that kept popping up into my head that I wanted to throw into, I was like, oh, that would be an oddball. That would be an oddball. I think the one big one that they did a great job, even though it kind of faded away, but they even brought it back. I think the only one that I'd be like should be on there would be Jeff and Duncan, because it's one of the few relationships that it was a relationship before the show starts. There's actually a backstory there that predates the inception of Community, which I think is pretty interesting. And that goes through the first, strongly through the first two seasons. And then like the way they so seamlessly bring him back in season six, and he comes back because I love the line when he comes back and they're like, hey, Duncan, where you been? He was like, oh, my mother's dying. I mean, she's still alive, but I put in my time. Like, such a seamless joke with a beautiful little button on it. And it's just like, all right, we're picking up where we left off.
So, it's like he was never gone.
Exactly. And like, I think that's one of the few that you could make an argument for. And we'll get to Oddball, where you have like the one-off characters who are either more zany than our core study group, or they're more grounded. And then they show how zany our study group can be. But like, as far as platonic goes, I think Jeff and Duncan is probably a big one. Jeff and Alan, you could make an argument for. And I think we had a conversation as whether or not that would be platonic or adversarial, because there's a big energy of those two against each other. But I'm okay with that one being left off, because it is kind of more further down the totem pole as far as importance goes. So I would say probably Jeff and Duncan would be my big one.
Well, I think Jeff and Alan has a lot of the same merits that you presented for Jeff and Duncan, but I think Jeff and Duncan, that relationship does it better. Adam, were either of those your second bubble snub, or did you have another one we need to consider here before we get to the actual matchups?
Bubble snub?
Neither of those is the one that I had in mind.
Oh, my Lord.
And Oh, My Lord is a perfect segue, because it's actually season one Shirley and season one Britta. And I love friendship so much, because, you know, we see later on how different they are in most any conceivable way on, you know, not like every single thing, but being an atheist versus being a devout Christian. And I really loved seeing a show where those two people could be friends and could be believably friends, and it wasn't forced or contrived. It was really wonderful. And I really miss that relationship a lot. And so I say specifically season one, because it changes, and, you know, as the character of Britta changes too. And it really culminates in such a great way when they are driving, British driving.
I was about to talk about this.
Yes. So to me, that is such a perfect way to, in one scene, capture what was so great about their season one friendship.
I almost pitched Oddball for Shirley, Britta, and Jesus. Coach Beard, as it were. I was very close to that. So I understand exactly what you're talking about with that kind of dynamic, and how, like you said, it changes and evolves, because they have great philosophical discussions, even if in like 2-3 minute little chunks. So,
yeah, I mean, what we know, basically the only similarity that they have is that they both went to public school.
There's also how that scene ends with, and it's
phenomenal.
It's funny. Yeah, it's phenomenal. But it's like, this next song's about race mixing called Don't You Do It. And they're both like, whoa.
So yeah.
There is common ground, which is, it's such a great little galvanizing line, but it's so funny.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of that episode and what I consider the peak of that specific relationship. In fact, I don't think either of you know this, but since it's come up organically, I'm going to be appearing again on this season of the Greendale Human Podcasters show. And because I appeared last season, they actually gave me a choice of season 3 episodes. And, you know, I didn't want to be that guy and claim RCT. So I basically had my choice of all the other episodes from season 3. And I ended up picking Studies in Modern Movement. So I'm very excited, yeah, to get into that deeper. And I think that episode's going to be coming out here in another month or two, obviously. Stay tuned. We'll let everyone know when that comes out as well. But yeah, this bracket definitely there, you know, could have gone, we might have been able to do 16 here. I don't know. I feel like at least 9 or 10 pretty strongly. But hopefully the ones that we did end up with lead to some pretty good discussion here. So now that we've made some pretty good cases for the relationships, we're not really going to be talking about more in this episode. Let's get into the ones actually competing in this region's bracket. And let's kick things off here with the first matchup, which is going to be our number one, Troy and Abed. You know, very strong favorite in the clubhouse, at least in my clubhouse. Right. We'll see where you guys chime in here. And then that's going up against the number eight seed, which is Troy and Pierce. So, Adam, since you kicked off Bubble Snubs, Dan, do you want to chime in first on this 1-8 matchup?
Sure, I'm fine with that. Troy and Pierce versus Troy and Abed. Well, let's start Troy and Pierce. The start of their arc, really, like, because you get them toying with it a little bit in season one, where you had the sneezing episode where Pierce teaches Troy how to sneeze more commandingly, I think is the most diplomatic way I can put that. But it's really funny. It's kind of out of nowhere. That, I feel like that particular storyline seems a little bit more sitcom-y. And then as season one ends and they get a little bit away from those regular tropes and you get into more unique storytelling, that's where you get some really interesting layered things with Troy moving in with Pierce. And then there's that weird one-off joke where Pierce is like, we'll get you fitted for a uniform. And Troy's looking around like, what? And then you have the beginning of season two where you see Troy waking up at Pierce's place, but in the Spider-Man costume, which was, you know, great. A little nod to fueling the rumors that he was going to be Miles Morales at one point. So there's a lot there. And then in that episode with the whole discussion of old white man says and how Troy is literally just tweeting out things Pierce says because it's funny that he's out of touch in these certain ways. So it's definitely a funny relationship between the two of them, especially once they realize like they played off each other very well comedically. But oh, man, you talk about a number one seed. Like there's eight seeds here. It's really there's a number one seed and then there's seven others. Because it's Troy and Abed in the morning. I mean, it's... and
you this know, is definitely the season three of last year's bracket in terms of favorites and seeds from that perspective. Like,
and it was funny. As I was saying Troy and Abed in the morning, the line popped into my head that it's fun. The more we talk about these things and the more I go into this podcast, the more I'm finding little nuggets from season four that I really like. And the one that just popped into my head is Troy just rambling at the inspector con and he's like, Toby and Abed in the morning, that's crazy. I mean, he's kind of right, where it's like you literally they spawned their own. I mean, it was a joke show, but then it was such a good joke. There was like a spinoff with Troy and Abed in the morning and nights, and then Annie's doing her own spinoff with Troy and Abed and Annie in the morning. It was great to see that they knew what they had very early on with those two and how they played off each other so quickly. And even going back and watching like the deleted scenes from the Halloween episode and all the outtakes where Donald is just riffing and coming up with anything he can think of dressed up as Michael Jackson and Abed's just there as Batman, just responding immediately like, you're a very handsome man. We're going to have so much more to say about it. But yeah, of course, it's Troy and Abed.
What do you think, Adam? You came out firing real, real hard in our last episode. First time we pitched to you, you were the number eight seed champion. So I'm a little worried here. Where are you at?
So it's Troy and Abed, and it's an easy call. But what I really love about this specific pairing, these two facing off against one another in a kind of meta turn here. Originally, that's how it was posed. You know, the idea was to have Troy and Pierce be best friends. That's why they sit next to each other at the study table. I mean, obviously Troy and Abed also sit next to each other. There's just a corner in between there. I'm not trying to recreate the look left speech here, but originally that was the plan. And Abed even has a line. He says, you two have bonded over your mutual adolescence. And it was really funny to know that about the show's plans, to hear that line. And then after that, and because of such the great dynamic between both the characters, Troy and Abed, as well as Donald and Danny, that relationship took over and for all of the great things that Dan said. But again, I really like this pairing for that reason, because like these relationships duked it out to some extent in real life and made the show that we know.
Yeah, so that definitely, we're going to go ahead and advance Troy and Abed here, but I do want to chime in, even though my vote's not necessary to advance them, and just, you know, say a few things about the actual bracket itself, because as you guys have certainly noticed, this is the only time that Pierce appears in a pairing in this bracket that we're going to discuss today, and Shirley also only appears once. As integral as they are to the show as a whole, it was very hard to find specific pairings with those characters, at least from my perspective, you know, that really had enough behind them to warrant a good discussion. And so the thing I'm trying to point out here is that this is really the only time that Pierce appears. And I was kind of racking my brain as we were going through these relationships and trying to come up with the ones we were going to discuss and how I was going to seed those relationships. This was really the only one for me that was a consideration for Pierce. I know we did also, someone had put Jeff and Pierce on the list. But it's really interesting to me that as we talked about a lot in the first episode of the Bracketology this year, huge part of the show, it's just when it comes to these specific relationships, it was really, really hard to get him in here.
I think as far as that goes, I think they did, and kind of how they knew what they had with Troy and Abed early on, I think they realized pretty quickly that it was going to be more entertaining, definitely more entertaining and more interesting television to kind of peg Pierce as an adversary. So like when we were talking about him versus the study group, it's like he kind of became a foil to anyone at any point that they needed, like not necessarily a straight
villain.
Anyone
with decency.
Yeah, exactly. Like his own motivations outweighed the rest of the study group. And like, that's why I think it's harder to put him in Platonic, is because he has an episode where his entire motivation is just to piss off Vicky. That's his entire motivation for one whole episode. And then she stabs him in the face with a pencil. So
the character,
like,
of Vicky was just created for that, which is even more brilliant.
And that's the thing, is I think once they realized that it would make more sense to use him that way, like I think it saved his character. I still to this day think Pierce has the best character arc in the first three seasons. Like, sure, you can make an argument for Jeff that it's like it's his show and he's like maturing. But even once you get to seasons 4, 5, and 6 and you're kind of peeling back more layers of that onion, that's Jeff. He's still not making the biggest, like the strides that Pierce made in three seasons. So
yes, fortunately for Pierce, he is already in the fearsome foursome, having emerged, in the relationship fearsome of foursome. Pierce versus, I love that, Pierce versus the study group in the first region. But for this region, he's been officially eliminated. So may he rest in Pierce.
Poor
now, we've got the number 4 versus the number 5. So instead of Troy on Troy crime, we're going to go Jeff on Jeff here. And Adam, I'm going to pitch it to you first. We've got the number 4 seed, Jeff and Abed, going up against the number 5 seed, Jeff and Troy. How do you even start to differentiate and value these relationships against one another?
Yeah, for me, and it's a little bit of a recurring theme for me based on my assessments of some other Jeff relationships, is that Jeff, with respect to Troy, is not an especially good friend more often than not, because he's intimidated to a degree that Troy is the real leader of the group. And you don't find that out right away, and it doesn't manifest itself right away. Again, to go back to mixology certification, that's kind of where it's a crux, and we really hear about it discussed the first time, right? And Troy ends up becoming the leader of the group in any kind of positive sense of the term leader anyhow. So comparing that to the relationship that Jeff has with Abed, and I'm thinking of the episode where Jeff moves into the dorms with Abed, and the dynamic of that relationship, I prefer to Jeff trying to hold something over Troy. So my answer is number 4, Jeff and Abed over Jeff and Troy, just because Jeff kind of holds all the cards and the power and isn't very friendly about it with Troy, versus there's more of a give and take with Jeff and Abed. And Abed would be happy to have Jeff to continue living with him in the dorm. He knows that it's best for Jeff to be back outside of his dorm. And he does that, and he lets Jeff go, and he cuts him down, or lets him down easily. So again, I just think they're more on equal footing, and it's a better type of friendship. I would aspire in my own life to have more of a relationship like that than I would to have a Jeff/Troy relationship.
Well, they say as much in that episode. Jeff actually comes right out and says to Abed, he's like, you'd be fine with me staying there forever, wouldn't you? And he's like, yep. As far as those two go, and I'll for full disclosure for me, I'm going to talk through it kind of the way you did, because I don't have a clear favorite going into this, because you kind of have to base this discussion around Jeff, because it's Jeff and Troy and Jeff and Abed and what these two characters, either relationship, how they do it. And the first joke that popped into my head was, oh, clearly Jeff's number 1 and Todd's number 8. And it's like, you were 4 and 5. And he was like, well, I'm 4 and Todd's 5. He's like, nope. So that was the first joke that popped into my head about this seating. But I think it's interesting because Jeff and Troy, like, I think Jeff is probably jealous of Troy, which is one of the same reasons that he tries to perpetually cut him down, happening a lot in Remedial Chaos Theory, and then also popping up again in Paintballs 2 and 3. So eventually, it's funny how there's more respect in Paintballs 2 and 3, and then once we do get to the Apartment 303, cough 304 episode, that that respect is kind of just evaporated over the course of a summer and then a few episodes, where Jeff is now still kind of treating Troy like a punching bag because in many senses of the word, Jeff is he's a bully. So you could almost make an argument that this relationship could even go into adversarial. It could go into the conflict side with Jeff versus Troy, as opposed to Jeff and Troy, because their relationship is there, but they don't even have too many storylines of their own. I know they kind of pair together when Pierce's mom passes away and Jeff is gonna like destroy Pierce's world and take him to the morgue and whatnot, and the three of them kind of get paired together. But when you have Jeff and Abed, I think it's really interesting because there's a reason all these podcasts have popped up and we can talk about for years. I think Abed is one of the most interesting characters ever created on sitcom television, period. Because you can literally use him in an infinite number of ways and almost as a mirror. So I think that's a more interesting relationship because Jeff and Abed, like, Abed's almost like a sponge and he can be almost whatever you need him to be in any given situation. And I think that's one of the reasons why Jeff and Abed is so interesting, because a lot of the reasons Jeff struggles as a character, period, is because he's, in the course of the show, he's learning introspection. Like, he's never really, like, he cheated to get through his whole life. Like, he faked a bachelor's degree, and now he's kind of had this gut check moment. And this is, we're watching someone who has been a shitty person for most of their lives realize that that's not the way to go about it. And he has all these speeches, and I feel like Abed really is, he's one of those conduits that's allowing character growth for everyone, but especially Jeff. Like, you don't get, like, the whole episode of the My Dinner with Andre episode between Jeff and Abed, like, it's so fun. The dynamic of having your main character open up and reveal that he was dressed up as a little Indian girl and how it fucked him up, like, in his head and going door to door. And he's like, I just stopped correcting them. And then you watch as Abed, who was doing a bit, realizes his bit has gone too far. And you can see the facade in his eyes just fall, like, uh-oh, I'm in over my head. He's like, I wanted a real conversation, and now that I'm having a real conversation, I don't think I want it.
Abed's facial reactions are second to none the actors in this show. Just watching him react to the things that other people say is absolutely priceless.
And the amazing part about that is, like, he's doing it with an unbelievable amount of nuance, because especially as somebody who is, you know, quote-unquote, has Asperger's, you don't necessarily know how to react to things. So he's so good. And, you know, we said it before, Danny Pudi should have had all the Emmys for this show, because the work he's doing, even when he's not saying anything, is second to none. So it's Jeff and Abed for me, too.
Yeah, I think that advances easily here. Let's get down right to this next matchup. We've got the two versus the seven, and I have the two seed as Jeff and Britta. And again, we discussed their romantic relationship, which I actually had as the one seed, which did not win the previous region. But for today, we really are focusing on the platonic side of those two characters and their interactions. And so that's the number two seed, and I've got it going up against the number seven seed, where, much like I mentioned with Pierce in the first matchup, this is the only time that Shirley appears. And the relationship that I chose to pair her with for the sake of this discussion is Abed. So we've got Jeff and Britta going up against Shirley and Abed. Dan, kick this one off.
You can almost, Shirley and Abed, it's a similar kind of thing where we were talking about with Pierce earlier. You can kind of see where all Shirley's relationships play strong. Like, she has such a strong character already developed, so it's playing her nuances off of the other characters. And the one episode for those two that sticks out for me is the False Prophet episode, where Abed makes the viral video for her and how it starts off, like, with how Shirley wants it to be, and hers like, oh, Jesus as a rapper. And then it kind of evolves from there. And then Abed takes a hole, and then he kind of lets himself go, his ego run wild, and then make the video the way it is. And then Shirley coming back and then fulfilling the prophecy after she hears him praying, for lack of a better term. But I still think you get a lot of, I'm trying to pull other instances of the two of them, because then the other thing that popped into my head was the early on in season one where Jeff's talking about how they could theoretically be romantic interests for each other, and then they're looking all around and you have Abed doing the eyebrows to people, which always made me giggle as well. So as far as those two goes, like you said, there's less to pull from with Shirley, with Pierce, because they're being used to kind of highlight the other people. Versus Jeff and Britta, as far as the platonic relationship with those two go, it's really interesting about how they go back and forth and back and forth, because it's romantic, but then it's not romantic, but then they're sleeping together and then they're friends with benefits. So you could call it romantic, even though it's not really. And then when they have the permission, they're like, oh, we don't want to be physical anymore. And then we're friends, because we touched on this briefly, that we all kind of agreed that they work better as friends, because kind of for a similar reason that Jeff and Abed did, except Britta, they both love to be right, and they both are damaged in their own ways. So it's really interesting seeing them come from different points of view. And again, going to the gas leak year when Britta's pretty much forcing Jeff to meet his dad, and then kind of how he's processing and how he confronts his dad and really like does break down a little bit and be like, this is who I am. And then they have a great moment of the car afterwards. And he's like, I know you're probably feeling a strong urge to sleep with me. And she's like, nah, but like, she's saying something different than she's giving. I don't even know how to phrase that. Maybe that doesn't make any sense, but she said it in a way that's sarcastic, to where it's like, she was playing, like she was feeling physical attraction for him because he was feeling vulnerable. Maybe that's the best way to say it. As far as one versus the other, I feel like I have to go Jeff and Britta, only because there is such a bigger treasure trove to pull from. And that's where, you know, the series was based, was Jeff hitting on Britta, even though it turned into more of a friendship. I think that's where I land on this one.
It's an interesting matchup, to be sure. And your point is well taken regarding Jeff and Britta. Like, we get that every single episode. We see some element of Jeff and Britta in whatever type of relationship it is. We don't get Shirley and Abed very much. There's one instance in which Abed asks Shirley if she would consider spinning off with Abed. I believe that's season 2, episode 1, and to, you know, very comedic effect. But it's not really, you know, part of the relationship. So I just, beyond the episode that you referenced, the Abed being meta episode, I'm not sure that there's really anything from which to draw there, apart from, you know, part of a scene here or there. And although I don't like Jeff and Britta past season 1 in a platonic capacity, as I outlined last time, I still have to pick it. You know, sometimes you can't knock Duke out of your bracket every year in the first round. You don't like it, but you move them on. So that's kind of where I'm at in this one as well. Another agree.
All right, we'll advance Jeff and Britta. I don't know. It's hard, like you guys said, to go too far specifically into peaks with that relationship. But, you know, I do feel like Shirley is one of the most perpetually misunderstood and disconnected members of the study group. And, I mean, maybe in the same way that Abed understands everyone because he's a computer, I think that Abed understands Shirley and, I don't know, is there for her in ways that the other group members are not or aren't capable of.
You're right.
The show.
And I just want to add in real quickly, because what you just said reminded me when Abed's cousin Abra is visiting in the bouncy house. Mm-hmm. And in that episode, Abed tells Shirley what a good mom she is. So you are correct. And I just wanted to give you credit for that with a specific reference before I forgot about it.
And so we're going to move on to the next matchup here. And when I was trying to get a Shirley matchup in this discussion, the other one I considered heavily was Shirley and Jeff. I know.
I was just thinking about that.
Adam's a much bigger fan of the foosball episode than I am.
I love the foosball episode.
You know, there are lots of parts of that are great. And I don't know, again, kind of almost like with this relationship, you know, it's hard to name a whole list of peaks, but I do feel like they connect in various ways throughout the course of the show. So I did kind of consider that matchup, but ultimately went with Shirley and Abed. So we will advance Jeff and Britta. and get to the next matchup here.
Well, real quick, there was that episode. There's also season one. There's the episode when they both find out that they really like to gossip, and then there's Vaughn's tiny nipples.
Oh, yes, yes. Earlier, that's really the first time, and I love that episode because they actually address how, like, that whole episode is about how they don't have stuff in common and about how, like, it's weird for them to be paired together as a duo in the show. So that's actually probably the best example, you know, even if it might not have been the highest highs. No, that's a really good one. Let's get to the last matchup of this first round here before we start getting into some more contentious, potentially second round matchups. We've got the three going against the six, and the three seed is Britta and Annie. And then for the six seed, I have Frankie and Abed. Adam, I think you're first this time, if I'm keeping score correctly here.
Yeah, so again, we run into an issue where Frankie was only on for one season. So that's a little bit tough on that particular relationship. But it's a really interesting one. And I'm glad that you picked this, because the rest of this study group hates Frankie immediately. Just can't stand her, don't want anything to do with her. And Abed, in emailing montage form,
emailing Diane.
Yeah, yes. I thought it was Diane, but I couldn't remember.
What do people do in real life, Abed?
But yeah, so it's really an interesting relationship, and they've got the same similarities in terms of, you know, being mistaken for a computer, and it just manifests itself totally differently in that Abed takes the meta, everything is a TV show approach, and Frankie is highly practical, pragmatic, getting things done, inspiring change at the school itself, much to the chagrin of Dean Pelton. And it's interesting. It's really I'm not going to say the word interesting again, but it's kind of a fascinating look at how similar but how different two people can still be. So I like that relationship for all of those reasons. Britta and Annie, though, is really a great relationship, because here we've got it platonic, and we talk about moments with other characters where, oh, this could be categorized as platonic or rivalry. And the fact of the matter is, in real life, that happens, and you don't always know when and for how long. So I just like how real this relationship is and how it changes, and how Alice and Bechdel be damned. Sometimes they are talking about someone that they have mutual interest in, whether it's Vaughn or Jeff. But real life is like that too, and that happens sometimes. But the basis of their relationship in an ongoing format is a Troy is another one at some point they both have interest in. But again, all of that aside, it feels like a really good relationship which matures over time. I like it. I would vote for it, even though I do really like the novelty of Frankie and Abed as well.
Before we get too far away from it, I'll pick up Annie and Britta where you're talking, and we can't forget about the way they framed their relationship in the Blade episode, where Britta is trying to stay her passions for a carny named Blade, and Annie is really trying to be a good friend for her, and then Britta is just saying as many manipulative things as she can and be like, oh, I always viewed you as a younger sister, and Annie's like buying into it, and then you have the "you are a lying junkie banana," which is a good little joke in and of itself. And then
write
Troy
that on my banana every morning.
it's a great way to start your day. It's interesting. And then you have the Annie and Britta episode where they're trying to save the, I don't even remember, they're trying to like save the
oil spill.
Yeah, the oil spill.
They're raising money for the oil spill.
And that's actually one of my most desired gifts. I found it as a gif, but I don't have it with the text on it. Where I don't even know if they ever give him a name, but they call him Beard Guy a couple times in the show, where he literally screams at them, "No one's on the other side of this issue." And I just love that as like, yeah, clearly, like this is something we can all say we're coming out against. But then that even kind of devolves into almost an adversary thing. Like even when there's a little one-off with Britta and Annie, and like Abed like is going through his list of quintessential college experiences and like make out with the hottest girl on campus, and they look at each other and they're like, well, neither one of us did it. Oh, there's someone more attractive than us.
Check a Rooney.
So there's a lot there. Their dynamic, I do think, is an interesting one to kind of track through, because their characters, almost in the same way as like Jeff and Abed to a degree, they're drastically different people by the end of the run of the show than they are in the very beginning, where it's like one of the lines that always pops up into my head is when we started the study group, Britta, you were an eclectic anarchist. How did you become the group's airhead? And she goes, thank you. So seeing where they start and then seeing how they grow and change with each other is really interesting. And again, like sheer quantity, they definitely have it more than Frankie and Abed. But I will say I also am happy we did Frankie and Abed. And then only reason I can pull this name is because I watched a video about it recently. Diane is Frankie's character's name in season 5 when she's just the IT lady. So I think she may be the only character who's appeared twice as two different people in Community.
Didn't she just appear by voice in season 5?
No, because she's in the episode with Nathan Fillion.
Annie and Hickey are going through
everything.
All the
everything. I want everything getting by that porn blocker.
So sounds like ultimately you're landing on Jeff and Britta here.
I will be. Just to touch on Frankie and Abed, though, I do like that when Frankie comes in as a character, she immediately pins down Abed, where she's like, she's looking at all these other people. She's like, if I can get through to him, who is arguably the most aloof and in his own world, but you've also seen how Abed is that, but he's also a conduit to every, like he's a great standing relationship with everyone else in the study group. So Frankie realizes like, oh, if I can work with him, then I can work with any of them. And then it kind of goes back and forth in those episodes to where there's a give and take, to where it's like Frankie tries to get Abed to go to her way, and it kind of works for a little bit. But then once Frankie realizes she can go to Abed's way and she can work from the inside and then use everybody else, it actually becomes a very mutually beneficial relationship based on that one episode. So that being said, though, I think I still do have to go Annie and Britta.
So we advance the number 3 seed. I'm really disappointed in you guys at this point. I'm not going to lie. I really thought that I was going to get to chime in. I thought at least one of you guys would go with the 6 seed here.
I was looking and I was just thinking about this. If the brackets would have been, if you'd have thrown in Jeff and Shirley in the 7 seed, I probably would have put Jeff and Shirley over Jeff and Britta.
I see. So this is my fault.
Yes.
I don't know, because right now at this point it's chalk and there's not
it is
been
chalk
a single,
so far. Yeah,
that's no, not been a single weird disagreement. So I think that's I think the NCAA needs to contact you for bracket creation.
So I think that we at some point later this year need to do an episode that really does focus on Frankie, and I'm sure a large part of that will be her relationship with Abed. It was hard for me to not overseed this. I really, really love this relationship, and it, you know, this is where its run ends here. But if I were to chime in, and had I to vote, I would have gone with the 6. I would have gone with the what I consider quality over quantity. You know, you guys both mentioned Annie and Britta being there the whole time, which is something clearly Frankie, you know, doesn't bring to the table. But you know, the relationship, Adam, I think you said you valued the fact that it had so many different iterations, but for me, like, it was just always all over the place. It was spread too thin. It never really had a clear narrative for me and seemed to just always kind of be changing directions arbitrarily. So we will advance and we'll talk more about that relationship in the next few rounds, but I do think that I really want to have a discussion later on in a future episode where we talk more about Frankie and the effect that she has on Abed, because I feel strongly that Abed is a positive influence, is a overall positive, is a gain for all of the people in the study group, right? You guys have both brought up, mm-hmm. you know, during the course of discussing various relationships, like, how is it for one person? Is it good for them? Does it help them grow? And Abed is that for everyone, but, like, who really is that for Abed? Certainly some people in some ways, but no one in the way that Frankie is. So that's something I definitely want to get into deeper later. But for now, Frankie's run has ended in this tournament, and we advance to the second round here. We'll see if the chalk continues or for how long it continues. We've got the number 1 seed here, Troy and Abed, going up against the number 4 seed, Jeff and Abed. Dan, where are you here?
Well, I'll hop around a little bit because I do want to mention, I talked a little bit about how Jeff and Abed kind of, they push each other as characters, or at least Abed pushes Jeff as a character because him being stoic at times forces Jeff to like really work through himself mentally and think things through. And the one thing that I didn't mention the first time around that I wanted to make sure I talk about here is in the series finale where they're all pitching ideas for shows and for a possible season 7. And there's one fantasy where Jeff is just killing Abed. He's literally strangling him multiple times and just leaving bodies everywhere because Abed is forcing Jeff to address his status quo and how he is existing currently and how that may not be the same for long and how Jeff does not like that. So he's pretty pissed at Abed for quote unquote breaking up the group. So you can definitely call that platonic. You can definitely see that that's kind of the end of their relationship where they're the first two characters to speak together in the series after the Dean has his little speech. And it starts with, I'm not gonna lie, it's a very awkward because you can tell they're standing still and then they start walking. But when you have Abed answering Jeff's question and going over elaborate on it, you can see how much, well, they've both come and grown just from putting those two scenes next to each other. And even in the first, in the pilot and the series finale with the, I see your value now. And that's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me, how it's done so well and set up so nicely in the pilot. And then at the very end, there's a nice little bow on it, too, in the series finale. All that being said, you're not going to take down Troy and Abed and Troy and Abed in the morning with how many different, just, they have adventures upon adventures, so many stories written through the entire run of the show around them as anchors in zaniness, almost, where it's like there was not, I feel like there wasn't one plot that got pitched that they could be like, oh, we couldn't do this. Be like, oh, we're going to ground it through Troy and Abed and we're going to find a way to make The Floor is Lava an entire episode and make me weep every time I watch it. Because when that relationship breaks up, it's like you're losing a part of your soul in the show. The first couple times it didn't hit me. And then the more I watch Danny Pudi's performance where he's like, It's real. I'm seeing real lava because I don't think the lava goes away unless you say you're not leaving. And I'm like, oh my God, that's devastating. Like, especially everything you know about a character who's like Abed. So when it's that painful for you to separate two of your main characters that you've built together over the course of 5 years, yeah, it's, you know, it has to be Troy and Abed.
Just like you would never reasonably predict a 15 seed to beat a 2 seed in the tournament a la St. Peter's this year, you would never pick a matchup wherein Troy and Abed lose. But if you had to, this is the relationship that I would pick. Jeff and Abed, we talked about last round, but I want to talk about, in addition to everything that you just said, I want to add contemporary American poultry. The wrap-up of that is Jeff going to dismantle the fryer because Abed usurped his study group power because he's not okay with that. And it comes to Jeff realizing this is crazy. And they have this really wonderful conversation about wanting to help one another make friends and then do a better job with the ones that they have. We don't see it really come to fruition so much in the show, but in that moment, it's such a nice moment. Like, you feel like these people have genuinely become better friends throughout the course of the episode, throughout the course of the season. And it's just really nice. And I really like that, in addition to, you know, everything else that I mentioned. So to give additional support for this Jeff and Abed relationship, apart from season one, which is all I've done so far, is to look at the series finale, like you mentioned earlier, Dan, and when Jeff goes in for that second hug on Abed, it's game over for my tear ducts. If I need a good cry, like, I'll go and watch that, you know, set to the Lord Huron soundtrack. And for my money, if we were going to rank them, this would have been my 2 seed with Jeff and Abed. So that kind of spoils the ending there too, because Troy and Abed, as much as I cry when Jeff hugs Abed twice before leaving, that pales in comparison to Troy leaving on the childish tycoon. So one seed advances. But again, for me, that's the closest matchup they could have had.
All right. Well, let's get into this 2 and 3, because now for the first time here in this region, we've got some Britta on Britta here, because we've got the relationship of Britta and Jeff going up against the relationship of Britta and Annie.
I knew as soon as Dave said he would pick the 6 over the 3 that I need to pick this for the champion of the bracket just to make him upset. No, but in all seriousness here, we've got Britta as a common denominator in this matchup. And, you know, so we're just looking the ways in which Britta is friends with Jeff versus the ways in which Britta and Annie are friends. And I didn't mention it earlier. I was saving it for a second round matchup here. Speaking specifically of Britta and Annie, there is the scene, and I can't remember exactly the title of the episode, but it's the dance where Britta goes with Paige, and
yeah.
Says a lot about Britta. Her heart's in the right place, but she does it completely wrong. And for the record, that's my favorite way for something to get Britted. For her heart to be in the right place and the execution to be bad, not for her to be, you know, some bumbling fool. But anyway, I digress. So by the end of that episode, Annie, who we know is a tad homophobic, gets to the point she says to Britta, well, when she was a lesbian, I thought it was really cool of you to ask her to the dance.
I think it was make out with her.
Yeah, like right. So, you know, that's a really nice moment, because even if Annie doesn't mean it, she knows Britta needs to hear that. And there are not many examples of people trying to cheer up Britta when she's upset or when something like that happens. And the exact counterpoint I'm going to use is from season 4 at the, what is it, Sophie B. Hawkins dance, where Jeff's entire mission is to make Britta feel bad about the fact that she made one verbal mistake. So if you want to say that the person who does that, you want to consider their friendship better than what Britta and Annie have, I'm going to tell you you're wrong, and I'm going to disagree with you, and I am going to move on number 3, Britta and Annie over Jeff and Britta.
I totally respect your rationale and your opinion, and I think in talking about the Sophie B. Hawkins dance, you can't deny the Pierce Ex Machina, as it were, because yeah. there's a great little, like the climax of that episode, more or less, where Pierce has a little monologue where he was like, because in the face of adversity, she wouldn't back down, even though she knew she was wrong. And Jeff's like, but that's exactly when you should back down. And so it's really interesting to see that gets a little sitcom-y and it gets a little in the weeds there, but I do think it is amusing, and that's a great, I love how you bring that up, that dichotomy of those two platonic relationships popping up in different dances, because like I said a minute ago, that is how Jeff behaves in a lot of the run of the show, is he's straight up being a bully. And I understand where he's coming from as far as that mentality of someone like not owning up to their mistakes, because I understand he does it in a very bullying way with Britta in that episode. But I understand where he's coming from, being like, you're wrong, but you won't admit you're wrong. And like, that's a lot of their, it's so interesting that maybe that's something we should have considered earlier, putting in one. We could have literally put Jeff and Britta in every single bracket we did. We could have put them in adversarial. We could have put them in platonic. We could have put them in romantic. They might have even had a shot in oddball. So that would have been really funny to have one relationship and talk about it from 4 different angles. But I digress. As far as where my chips go between the two of them, I think the only reason I want to push and I want to hear Dave's opinion and I'm going to vote Jeff and Britta is because as toxic as their friendship can be at points, I do think that they evolve as characters through having each other as platonic friends. Whereas Annie and Britta, I feel like, complement each other well, but I don't think there's as much growth. I think that they're more supportive and they're more there for each other, whereas that friction between Jeff and Britta actually leads to characters changing. Whereas I think Annie and Britta are better about kind of being there for each other and being constants for each other and being what each other needs, but not really pushing each other or the plot further down the road. So I will go Jeff and Britta, and we will get our first tiebreaker here.
First of all, did you say Pierce Ex Machina?
I did say Pierce Ex Machina.
Okay. That's why I've been on the floor and not on my microphone for most of the last 2 minutes, but I think I got the gist of what you were saying. Oh my God.
It does have, Pierce does that with money a lot. You could say there was a Pierce Ex Machina when he stole Troy and Abed's handshake.
Oh my Lord. That is.
It looks like it's a thousand.
I have to
o'clock.
Get over this because now I have to actually chime in for the first time, and this is the most off my base you guys have thrown me so far.
You literally have to give your opinion now.
So I have been swayed a bit by Adam's arguments. You brought up some good points with the Annie and Britta relationship, and especially the part about how, you know, Annie is there for her, even if it's not necessarily a relationship that Britta grows from or has more defined trajectories, like, the effort is there, and I think that does have value, especially in contrast to Jeff a lot of the times. Oh, wow.
Right? Not as easy as you think, is it?
I want to advance not chalk again, because this you know, 3 is the first time there could be an upset brewing, but, I mean, I have to side with Dan just for Pierce Ex Machina. Like, even though that is outside of the scope of this actual thing, like, that is how divided I am at this point. I was a lot lower on Annie and Britta in the previous round, and they've made up a lot of ground, but I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to go Jeff and Britta. And, you know, so you've got at least one more chance to tear it down in the next round, Adam.
Well, we'll see what happens next round.
Well, let's just go ahead and see right now, because despite how hard I try to keep things interesting and slightly unpredictable around here, we are now back at the 1 versus the 2. So let's put this region to rest. You know, which relationship is the best platonic relationship in the show?
I said it in the first round, but it was really number 1 seed and then 7 others. We've talked about these quite through. I mean, Troy and Abed, they have their own arc. They have their own planet. They have their own television show. They have their own holodeck. They have their own
dreamatorium.
They have the dreamatorium. Well, holodeck, whatever you want to call it. I know it's a dreamatorium. You don't have to call in or write in. I am aware. The dreamatorium is literally a rip on the holodeck, and I love it because I grew up watching a lot of Star Trek Next Generation, and we'll get to that in the oddball bracket. But it's like Jeff and Britta, as much as the show was grounded on their relationship, be it romantic or platonic, the amount of, the first word to pop in my head, content, the amount of content, the amount of story, the amount of relationship, the amount of emotion that we got out of Troy and Abed. And it was funny how you were saying we're wrapping up the platonic. I love that. This, you could also, I will say this too, this is something just popped into my head. You can say Troy and Abed is also an amazing example of a non-toxic masculinity friendship, because they're not shying away from their emotions. Like, literally, when Shirley says, you don't hear me talking about what Troy and Abed going on over there, they go, they're just jealous. And it's like, they're so unbelievably comfortable with each other. Like, you watch that and you're like, I'll peek a little behind the curtain. I don't think this is going to be much of a, I don't know if either of you guys are going to vote for Jeff and Britta, but even when you get to Pillows and Blankets, where it's the one episode that they're really truly adversaries, that episode works, and it finishes with such a pretty bow on it, because it shows how good of friends they are and literally how much they love each other, not only with the lava episode where they're actually break up, but in Pillows and Blankets, where they're like, they would stand there for hours, days, weeks, just hitting each other with pillows, because that's the last thing they're ever going to do together as friends. To know that level of love for another person, to where it's like, sure, we have a disagreement, but like, if this is going to be the last disagreement, we're just going to do this forever, because we don't ever want that person not to be in our lives. Even with something as small as that, it's so hard to wrap your head around if you haven't had that kind of a friendship with somebody. And they do such a good job of showing it in, I don't want to say an infinite, because obviously it's not an infinite, we only have 6 seasons, but in hundreds of different ways through the course of 6 seasons, you see it all the time. So it's Troy and Abed, number 1 with a bullet.
I think I can answer this with the question, did Jeff and Britta ever appear on the cover of Friends Weekly?
I almost spit out my water I was drinking, which is a magazine that they put together themselves.
Yeah, Yeah, no, no, they sure didn't. Who did, though? Troy and Abed. And I'll just feed on to what you've said, Dan, because I think it's so important for sitcoms, for television, for whatever media or medium you're viewing, to have examples of good friends, right? The number of television shows that feature a group of platonic friends or two platonic friends as the best relationship and something towards which to strive is very, very small. You know, there is a television show, you might have heard of it, it's called Friends. And
oh, go on.
Yeah, right, yeah. So you're not gonna believe this. No, that show.
Wait, hold on. Don't spoil it for me. Are they friends?
Sorry, spoilers. Yeah, they are.
Why?
But that's not the most important series of relationships in the show. It's about the different romantic pairings ended up becoming the most salient part of that show. And you could say the same thing for a lot, if not most, every other show. You know, New Girl is an example of another one, and Megan Gans. So we love her writing on Community, of course, and she's very good on New Girl, but that's an example of another show where the romantic relationship ends up becoming the most important piece there too. And I just really like that a show can be so smart and clever and funny, and at the end of the day, the best relationship is between two guys, Troy and Abed in this case. And I really like how you mentioned it too, not in a way that is, I'm going to say, hegemonically masculine, but you used a different phrase and it's eluding me right now. Toxic masculinity.
Non-toxic masculinity.
So, yeah. So I think what you guys are circling around, I think the term is either positive masculinity or healthy masculinity. I think that's usually what you guys are referring to. But Adam, did you want to throw in anything else here before I wrap this bow up on the Troy and Abed party?
No, I think it would be a disgrace to Friends Weekly if you did it in any way differently.
I think it's in even one other thing that just popped into my head. Even when they do a true profession of love and they said it wasn't scripted in the zombie episode where Troy escapes and he goes, Abed, I love you. And then he does the Star Wars, I know. And it's like, it doesn't even take you out of it. You're like, yes, these two characters would say that to each other, even if one of them was going to die. That's exactly how it would happen. And warm fuzzies.
Yeah, it's not close. More so than any of the other regions this year. Just like Remedial Chaos Theory last year in the season 3 bracket. I think Dan said it was the one versus the field. No one comes even close. I always come back to what I would say is probably my favorite line that's ever been said on this podcast, and that was by Adam in last year's bracket when we were wrapping up the discussion on Remedial Chaos Theory. And this year, I'm going to get to say it, but that's, even in the darkest timeline, Troy and Abed are still friends. They advance easily here and with much pleasure.
Huzzah.
And that does it for this region. Make sure you join us in our next episode where we're going to be discussing the fourth, final, and most ridiculous of all of this year's brackets, the Oddball region. As always, you can find Apartment 303 on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. For Dan and Adam, this is Dave signing off. We will see you in the next episode of Apartment 303.